looked in Ephesians chapter 5 and the last few verses, I'd already talked about it. You know, I already said what I was going to say, so I wanted to stay with the bride and the bridegroom. So the first verse I have is in Nehem. Now, that's one of the minor prophets, and I always have trouble finding the minor prophets. So it's just right after Micah and just right before Habakkuk, you know. So I only got one verse, so I'll read it if you don't want to turn there. In chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "The shield of his mighty men is made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation. And the fir trees shall be terribly shaken." Now here, this scripture, it no doubt speaks about the Christ's return and the preparation on earth, which precedes that great, you know, event. This is his preparation. And right now the fulfillment of that is before our eyes. You know, we see signs that the day is getting real close. And I believe it is getting real close. Yeah, it's just right around, I think we're just barely around the corner for it too. But there is a preparation at the same time, the preparation of the bride, you know, to meet his bridegroom. You know, the bride is in preparation. You know, we're in training, you know. And her preparation is just as necessary, and because he awaits her presence to be with him. You know, he's waiting too, you know. And it says, the man is not complete without his bride, and Genesis 2:18, it's not good for a man to be alone, you know, so... So Christ is going to have a bride, you know, like we've been saying, you know. And we are sure that there is nothing today of which the Lord is more concerned than the preparation of the Lamb's wife. You know, he is. And in Revelation 19:7, we read, she has made herself ready. You know, she has prepared herself, and she has made herself ready. So some of God's people are awakened to the fact that the coming of Christ, the return, but the readiness necessary to meet him, they don't want to really go that deep. They don't want to, prepare for him. You know, it's not quite what they want, you know, it's not of this world, you know, they gotta live. And some of the people, I mean, you know, it just in the back of their mind, you might say, the hope of his appearing, having lived faith, purifies us even as he is pure. That's found in 1 John 3:3. And this constitutes preparation of the bride. She must be as separate as he is from the world in every phase. This includes not only the world's charm as to its pleasures and money, but also to the wisdom, its thoughts, its fame, its zeal, and its energy. And the wisdom, thoughts, fame, zeal, and energy, these are religious. And a lot of people have a hard time seeing the religious things, you know, because, you know, like Satan can even transform himself into an angel of light, you know, and he quotes scripture, you know, although it's usually out of content, you know, he quotes scripture and he quotes scripture, he must be right. You know, I guess that's what a lot of people say. I don't, you know, but, yeah. But, you know, they're not hidden from God. You know, God knows. And if we're in tune with God, you know, we can pick that out too. You know, we can, you know, comes to our ears and we say, something's not right with that, you know. But the bride cannot afford to be defiled by any of these things. Time is too short. You know, there is, and she must be grown up. She's not a child. She's not a babe. And she She must be grown up into the measures of the stature of the fullness of Christ unto to the perfect man. That's in Ephesians 4:13. Lamb's wife is not going to be a babe or a child, like I said. She is going to be a grown woman, grown up in the Lord. God is not concerned, nor does he want us concerned, with building up something up here up on the earth. You know, people are building up riches. Most of them want riches. You know, they want lots and lots and lots and lots and whole lots of money. And, you know, they want the big buildings, you know, that they want, and they want land, you know, as far as the eye can see, you know. But that's not my concern, you know. Anything that would take me away from studying God's word, from looking at the bright, I don't want it. I don't care what it is, you know, because it's not worth it. You know, the money and all that, that's going to pass away. But, you know, this is always, you know, of course, you know, wanting riches and all, that's walking by sight. You know, that's what they see, you know. And, they get a lot of reward, you know, here on earth for all that, you know, for all that they do and say and gather and collect. You know, everybody thinks, boy, they're really a great person, you know, and says a lot of good things about them. But that's, you know, that's the glory that they want, you know. Well, they can have it. If we desire his best, we must look through his eyes, view things as he views them. And, you know, it says the bride has dove eyes or Holy Spirit eyes, you know. And we must see things through his eyes, you know. And he sees the world a whole lot different than man does. You know, it's a whole lot different. Man sees everything, you know. Oh, everybody's good, you know, everybody tries, you know, as long as, you know, you do good, you're going to get to heaven, a lot of them say, you know. You try to do good and all that. But that's, and I noticed on TV, you know, they, and I think this is the way of thinking of the world, you know, when I talk to people is, you have to sell your soul to the devil, you know. And I go, huh, that's not the case, you know, every time I see, you know, something on TV about it, and just talking to people at work, you know, they're under that census too, that, you know, you have to sell your soul to the devil before he can get it, you know. And some people are looking for a revival of the church. You know, I've heard that, you know, they're praying for a revival. I've heard people say, oh, we pray for a revival of the church. It ain't going to happen. You know, it's not even scriptural. You won't find it anywhere in scripture where it's going to have a revival. The fact is, it's opposite. The love of many is waxing cold, and some are departing from the faith. And 2 Timothy describes the condition at the end of this age. Now, I'm not going to turn there and read it all. The witness of Christ upon the earth has failed. You know, people are not listening to the word, or you give out the word, and they're not listening. They want to do it themselves. You know, they want man in there, you know, to do it. And they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power, the Holy Spirit, and it's nothing but sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. You know, that's all they are, just noise. And the end of this age is upon us. It's real close. And the church as a whole is divided. You know, everybody is, I'm a Baptist or I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Methodist or whatever, you know. And so they're not looking at Christ as their head. They're looking at some man as their head, you know. It's not what you believe, but are you a Methodist? Are you this or that? But in the beginning of the church age, all believers were in common, had all things in common. You'll find that in Acts 2:43 and 47. And this will never be repeated again until Christ comes back. There is not hope for a restoration of the professing church. You know, and we need to get the mind of God for each individual one of us at this time and not imitate those of the past. You know, we have to get the mind for ourselves, you know. We need to look to our teacher, you know, and our guide. You know, the Holy Spirit is here to help us, you know, to give us in the truth and to, you know, show us the way, show us the truth. And God is not as lost in the midst of the confusions and failures. You know, I've heard people say, you know, God's been taken by surprise and all that. He never has, and he has a plan, and what he wants and all needs is that he wants a pure and contrite spirit, small enough to be taught and willing to be led. You know, and and this teaching is not according to man's wisdom, nor his reasoning. You know, because they want to do it themselves. You know, like I said, they want to keep the law. They want to do something. You know, so that they say I did it. You know, and the path which we are called to walk may be thorny, and it's not very popular. You know, but I truly believe it will be a teaching benefit, the preparation of the Lamb life to take her place in the ages to come as the companion, the equal and helpmeet of the Lord. For the marriage of the Lamb shall come as it is written. It's going to come, you know. And there must be a bride who has made herself ready. You know, everybody has this, the whole church has this calling. You know, they have been called to this. But they don't want it, you know. The provisions have been met, you know, for all this to, and everything is complete. All they have to do is believe, you know, trust the Lord. And, but they don't want it. The separation it affects is too precise, and it entails is too severe. Some prefer to be like Lot. You know, Lot sat in the gates of Sodom, and you know they sat in the gates of Sodom to judge. You know, the sickness of the world. You know, they can say, oh yeah, this and this and this, but they don't want to be separated from it. You know, that's unfortunate. You know, that they like the world, you know, and they don't want to be separated from it. Although they are Christians, you know, they're not going to be, you know, they're going to be safe from fire, but their works are going to be burned up. And this can only be done when we acknowledge God's judgment upon this world by taking our place in death with Christ in his resurrection. You know. And we read today in Galatians 2:20. That it is no more I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. You know, this is the prayer God had made through Calvary for the redemption of the Christ life in the bride. You know. And let's turn to Revelation 19:7. I haven't been reading the scriptures. I've been telling you what they are. So but let's turn to Revelation. I hope I said that right the first time. You know, I never realized that it wasn't Revelations until Arlene spoke that. And I go, boy, it's not, is it? But everybody says it, you know, I still make the mistake. It's a habit of saying it, you know. Oh, I did too. I've always had. You know, until when Arlene said it, like a light came on, she says, boy, it's not. It's just Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife hath made herself ready. Boy. And then let's turn over to Revelation 21 and verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. She's going to be beautiful. You know, 21 verse 2. And then let's go to, in the same chapter, let's go to verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as symbol. You know, she is going to be beautiful. She's going to be gorgeous. You know, and she is Eve almost didn't see this. Eve was built from taken from a rib from Adam, from the side of Adam, and she became his wife. Well, and she was a type of the bride of Christ, you know. And Christ has taken a portion out of the church, out of his body. You know, the church is his body. Taken a rib out, a portion out of his body, and going to build, and it's going to be his bride. You know, a lot of people think that the whole church is the bride, you know. And I've heard several of them say that, you know. Well, you know, I'm going to heaven, you know, I'm going to be in the bride, you know, I'm saved, you know. Well, that's not necessarily so. And let's go to Philippians 3. And let's read starting with verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the full fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. Let's see, how far did I want to read? Okay, 14. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead or out from among the dead, that as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, you know, Christ is the prize. You know, that is our goal. You know, he is the prize. And I know, like, you know, I used to run. You know, when I was a teenager, I loved to run. Now that I'm old, I don't care to run too much anymore. You know, but when we ran, you know, they taught us to, you look for the goal. You know, you look at the end. You don't look around, because if you start looking around, it slows you down. You look straight ahead, and that's what we have to do. You know, we have to look straight ahead. You know, we have to look to Christ, and let's press on. It says that if by any means he may apprehend or seize hold, that which have. We have been apprehended of God in Christ. So let us set our faces like a flint by persistent faith in God and by wholehearted yielding to him and by real heart devotion to him, seek to reach that goal and win the prize. You know, that's my goal. I hope it's every one of you guys go, you know, is to win Christ. You know, there's, you know, up in heaven, there's going to be servants. There's going to be, you know, guests. But there is going to be a bride and taken out from among the church. And that's all I have for tonight. It did. It sure did.